Welcome back to the meeting. Thank you for your patience at home. This has been, we don't often do planning for 2 hours, but not quite 2 hours on the way. So what's happened is that the motion that had been moved to refuse the DAS 2019-9 at 31 Goulet Street for Blacklands Bay was lost. And during the debate, Councillor Westwood foreshadowed a motion to approve. And so I now go to Councillor Westwood. Would you still like to move a motion to approve?
Yes, I would.
Again, similar to the last motion for people at home, we know that you can't read it. I'm sorry that the gist of it is that this motion would approve the proposed subdivision, but there are a number of conditions which councillors have had 10 minutes to have a look at. I now seek a seconder for the motion, seconded by Councillor Grace. So I now ask Councillor Westwood to speak to the motion. Again, just to reiterate, the minutes of the meeting will be available on Wednesday afternoon, and so if you'd like to review what those conditions were, you can access them through Council's website then. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I won't take up too much time reiterating what I have already contributed, except to say that I do think this meets the planning scheme. I think it is appropriate for Blacklands Bay in terms of providing housing. I support infill development in that area. And I do apologise again to my colleagues for only providing this to you 10 minutes ago, and thank staff for preparing it today. I would prefer to put forward something that has received advice from planning staff to put together conditions that are appropriate, and I thank staff for doing that, and I ask my colleagues to support the amended the motion.
Further speakers? Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I support the Deputy Mayor in this, and the conditions I've been through, I think they're reasonable conditions, so therefore I will support this.
Councillor Bingley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. Just to get my head around this, so this is a general sort of subdivision criteria conditions that we consider as a planning authority?
That's my first question. Ms. Tollemore.
Through you, Mayor, yes, the conditions are fairly standard. They're without prejudice conditions that have been drafted.
Thank you. And I'm just wondering, what's the next process then for the approval of the dwelling?
Ms. Tollemore.
Through you, Mayor, this application is for subdivision only. The house that's referred to in the application is just a mock house that they've put through to suggest that you can build a house on the property. So what happens from here is that if it is approved, maybe these people or someone else will come back with the planning permit application to build a house on that site where they'll need to lodge their own design. So it's not the design that you've seen, and it's not been proved whether that's feasible or not, or whether it's an appropriate one or not. That would be their own design. It'll have to go through the process and they'll need to fit within those requirements. If there's discretions because they can't meet the building envelopes, which is suggested by the mock design, then it will be discretionary application. If it's the application receives 3 or more representations or is recommended for refusal, it would come to a council meeting. Otherwise, it would be done under delegation like any other infill development that we deal with.
Thank you.
Councillor Fox, then Councillor Cordova.
Yeah, it's not working.
Had you not completed your...
I meant to say thank you.
Oh. Very polite of you. Councillor Fox.
Well, I appreciate that explanation from Ms. Tyler Moore, because I was wondering how the issues that we had raised as being reasons for refusing it were addressed in this, and they don't appear to be. For example, I don't know how the setbacks are going to work or whether the new buildings will be an acceptable size or distance from the neighbours, and whether in fact they'd have solar orientation. But this would need to be worked out later, and if those parameters cannot be achieved, then can council still turn around and refuse those building applications?
Through you, Mayor, the application would need to come in and assessed on its own merits. If it fails to meet the requirements of the planning scheme, then yes, it can be refused and the site may not be developable, or if it's not feasible to do a design on that particular lot because of its layout. They're all parts that people need to weigh up if they choose to build on that site, and they need to do their own application assessment for whether they comply or not. Obviously, if it's decisions made to approve it, in lay terms and how the councillors hear from the public, it'll obviously come with the opinion, well, council approved it, I must be able to build something on the lot. So that's just part of it, but they'll need to be clever with the design.
Can I be reassured that we're not creating a slum situation by having such tiny blocks?
Point of order, Mayor. I don't know that that's a question that relates to the planning scheme.
Well, there's also, the development of a slum would indicate that it had been a DA for a dwelling, and it's a DA for a subdivision we're talking about. So I do feel like Councillor Street's point of order is valid. Did you want to rephrase the question, Councillor Fox?
If this is a subdivision, how, and I haven't read that detail, how small are the blocks that we're subdividing here?
Ms. Tollemore.
Through you, Mayor. On page 50, you can see the layout of the subdivision, which is 760 metres squared, but it's not obviously an ordinary rectangle or shape, so that it takes into account the driveway as well.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I support the notion of infill development. It makes a lot of sense in a place like Blackmans Bay. Under some circumstances and in accordance with the planning scheme, I think it's very important that we don't overall encourage too much ribbon development, because obviously the population of Kimber is indeed growing and we don't want to end up with a sprawling concrete jungle. However, on balance, looking at the report before us, I guess I will note that I think these conditions in the recommendation here are reasonable. I think they're good conditions, and usually I guess I would support them. The thing that I can't overlook, and bear in mind that I'm balancing these two competing interests here, one is to make sure that we have proportionate and responsible infill development for Blackmans Bay, and also to encourage reasonable development. But I'm balancing that, weighing that against the detrimental impacts on the neighbourhood amenity as outlined in the original report. So I'm looking here at the detrimental impact on the privacy of 33 Calder Street, the lack of adequate setbacks for 33 Calder Street, the proposed garage becoming visually dominant, which will cause a loss of privacy, and of course, overall, the fact that the size and shape of Lot 1 will likely result in unreasonable impacts on the amenity and privacy of future residents. It's important, I think, also to note that with respect to, for example, A4, I'm looking at issue A4, so it's page 61, it says that this does not comply. Both lots are... So you're not supposed to have an internal lot. Both lots are internal lots. Assessment against performance criteria required. Both accessible strips are a minimum of 3.8 metres in width, which meets the performance criteria, but looking down the list, there are... You know, the number of on-site car parking spaces and sufficient area needs to be retained with existing dwelling for parking of two vehicles. I think that it won't be the end of the world if these conditions are met, but I'm going to go back to the initial advice and support the initial advice, so I'll be voting against this motion. Thanks, Mayor.
Councillor Midgley with a question.
I have a question. I have a question, actually, that probably might not be able to be answered, but I'll go anyway. So we have the subdivision now, and the developer, basically there is concepts for the dwelling, and we know the issues that are raised in regards to that. But potentially, if this subdivision is approved, the developer could just sell off that subdivision lot, and somebody could buy that thinking they could build a house there and then perhaps not be able to build the house that they were thinking they might be able to because it doesn't meet the planning scheme. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Okay, so, but do we know if the developer is perhaps going to sell it or are they going to build it themselves? I guess that's...
completely irrelevant to the matter we're discussing.
Okay. Just because, only asking that, Mayor, because I thought then they would be in full knowledge of that information. So when, if it does get approved for subdivision and then they do sell, does that information get passed on to the potential purchaser in regards to, I guess, what their criteria is in regards to what sort of building they can place on that land?
If a purchaser buys any block of land within Kingborough, the purchaser should be aware of the planning scheme and the requirements. So if they're purchasing a 700 square metre block in Blackmans Bay, it's their personal responsibility to identify what the planning scheme is and what the development, what the constraints of development are on that site. Same for this block as for any other, this proposed subdivision as for any other subdivision.
Thank you, Mayor. And just one more further question on that. So we're not saying that a development cannot be built on this. A development can be built on this, but it has to meet the certain criteria of the subdivision.
Is that the planning scheme.
Of the planning scheme, sorry. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay, I think everything's... there's no other lights on, so I'm going to ask Councillor Westwood to sum up if she'd like...
Thank you. Just to address a couple of the points that were raised. On page 60, lot design, the size of each lot must comply with the minimum and maximum lot sizes specified in Table 10.1. A1 complies. Both lots are internal lots and are required to be between 550 metres squared to 1,000 metres squared in size. Lot 1 is 766 metres squared in total and 560 metres squared, excluding the access strip. The balance is 827 metres squared and approximately 700 metres excluding the access strip. That's bigger than the block of land I currently live on, and I'm perfectly happy living there. If we're not approving a type of dwelling, we're approving a subdivision, an infill opportunity for infill development. Some people don't want to live on a large block. Some people don't want to live in a large house. Someone who buys the lot, if it is sold, will be buying it knowing that they can't build a massive six-bedroom house with a huge backyard, and that's not for us as a planning authority to determine. Someone mentioned about services. We look on page 62, services. Each lot must be connected to a reticulated potable water supply. Yes, complies. Each lot must be connected to a reticulated sewage system. Complies. Each lot must be connected to a stormwater system. Complies. The subdivision includes no new road. Complies. So I ask my colleagues to support the motion as handed out. Thank you.
Sorry, Mayor. Can I just...
I don't think you can. It's just been summarised, so I was about to go to the motion. Apologies. The motion was moved by Councillor Westwood. It was seconded by Councillor Grace, and it is that the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the subdivision application for one lot and balance at 31 Goulet Street, Blackmans Bay for PDA surveys be approved subject to the following conditions. And this time, there are 11 conditions. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against... I have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Grace, Street, Westwood, Midgley, Wass and Winter. And those against is Councillor Reet, Fox and Cordova. The motion is carried. Could someone grab Councillor Bastone? Next item. So we're now up to the third item. of the Planning Authority. Would you believe it? Page 76. It's DA 202051. It's develop application for two multiple dwellings and an outbuilding detached garage at 36 Jenkins Street, Taroona. There's a recommendation to approve on page 89. Would anyone like to move and second the recommended motion? Councillor Grace will move. Seconded by Councillor Westwood. Councillor Grace.
I think, Mayor, the report explains pretty well everything. I've got no major issues. I'll leave it open.
Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. I have one question. That is in relation to recommendation with the conditions. Condition two. The applicants wanted a 2 metre fence. There was no one in the community that disputed that, and yet we've made it 1.2. I'm just wondering why, and why did we choose 1.2 when perhaps a 1.6 would have met them halfway? I'm just wondering why so low.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, referring to page 83 of the report is the assessment against the frontage fences. So the acceptable solution is a 1.2 metre fence if it's solid, or a 1.5 if any part of the fence within 4.5 metres of the primary frontage, which it would be Jenkins Street in this instance, has openings above the height of 1.2, which provides uniform transparency of not less than 30%, and then it can go to performance criteria. A fence within 4.5 metres of frontage must allow for mutual passive surveillance between the road and the dwelling, particularly on primary frontages, and maintain or enhance the streetscape. So if during the assessment we looked at that fence, we thought, high front fences are generally discouraged. They detract from the streetscape and the amenity of the area. Additionally, this part of Taroona has the creek that runs through it and the gully that runs through it, including the vegetation and the openness. There's very few examples of frontage fences in that area. Putting up that 2 metre high fence would obstruct any views to that area and detract from the streetscape. And also, it's not a usable area, so we didn't think it was to a great detriment to the users of that area to have that. The condition does allow them to have some higher fencing immediately adjacent to the house, so I'm not sure if councillors have had the opportunity to see the property, but it is a very long, unusual shaped block, and certainly that lower half, which is undevelopable, would present a positive contribution to the streetscape, so we don't end up with boarded up streets. That's the main gist. There is a discussion in the report there, which I'm happy to read if it's requested to be read, but that's the gist of it.
Okay, there are no other lights on. Councillor Grace, do you need to sum up? No, he's waved his speaking rights away. So the motion was moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Westwood. The motion is, as printed in the agenda, which is that the Planning Authority resolves that the development application for two multiple dwellings and an outbuilding detached garage at 36 Jenkins Street, Taroona, for Next 50 Architects be approved subject to the following conditions. There are probably a few. 17. This is the one there, 17 in this one. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. And with that, the Planning Authority session is adjourned and the open session of Council will resume at 7:52 p.m. We move to a notice of motion from Councillor Cordova on poker machines. Councillor Cordova is indicating he'd like to move whilst we just wait for Councillor Westwood, who's declared a conflict of interest in this matter, to leave the room. She's now left, so I'll now ask for a seconder. Would anyone like to second the motion? Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to start with a question before I start my substantive, just to give some context. My question is, to get a meaningful engagement on any matter of community interest, what would be a typical minimum number of days that a survey on our say should be open for community feedback?
Ms. Wilcox.
Well,
Thank you, through you, Mayor. A minimum of 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks is our usual time frame for a survey.
Thank you so much. I'll begin now. Thanks, Mayor. 4 to 6 weeks. Thank you so much for that answer. Tonight, I bring the Council's attention to the issue of electronic gaming machines, otherwise known as pokies or poker machines. Currently, Kingborough Council does not have a formal policy on poker machines and has no specific strategies to gain community consultation on the issue, and that's a quote from the officer's response to this report. This is exactly why I am proposing that we ask a few simple questions of our residents so that we can hear what they think about having additional poker machines in their neighbourhood. At some stage, perhaps sooner than we think, this council is going to have to require, is going to need a formal position on pokies because the sands of the gaming landscape in Tasmania are now shifting. For the first time in 50 years, the monopoly of legal gaming in this state may significantly change in 2023, so now more than ever, this council needs to know what it will do if a venue in our municipality applies for more pokies or for pokies. Whether we like it or not, we are a significant stakeholder, and I've taken the liberty of contacting the Tasmanian Commission for Liquor and Gaming, and they have said just that, and so too have gambling experts like Margie Law from Anglicare Social Action Research Centre and the Honourable Meg Webb, MLC. They have all said that the council, any local council, where somebody wants to have pokies in their venue, is a significant stakeholder, and there would be a community expectation that we would have an opinion on it. Simply shrugging our shoulders and saying, we don't know, we don't have a policy on it yet, we haven't thought about it yet, it simply won't cut the mustard. And so this is why tonight I am proposing that we ask a few simple questions of our residents so we can hear what they think about the issue. So when a new venue applies to have poker machines at a venue in Kingborough, they will need to go through a community interest test. And as I said, I've spoken to the Tasmanian Liquor and Gaming Commission and they have told me in no uncertain terms that the community stakeholder feedback period is limited to 14 days. 14 days only. Now, we've just heard that the minimum time to conduct a meaningful community consultation is 4 to 6 weeks. But I'm telling you that the Tasmanian Liquor and Gaming Commission has said in no uncertain terms you get 14 days from the time that a venue places an advertisement in the newspaper. That could easily be the first time that this council would ever hear about it. And then we would have 14 days to draft questions to the community, circulate questions in a community engagement, collect and gather information about community's attitudes to poker machines, draft a submission to the Gaming Commission, get it edited and checked and approved, and then sent to key stakeholders for their feedback, and then submit that submission for the community interest test within the prescribed time period. So, of course, my question to all of the councillors here tonight is, do we think that 14 days, which is how long we will get, do we think that 14 days is a long enough time to do anything more than paying lip service to community attitudes on poker machines? So, of course, if you look at the officer's recommendation to this motion, it says that an engagement program in relation to community attitudes to poker machines may best be undertaken in response to a specific proposal rather than a general canvassing of views. And what I'm telling you tonight, unequivocally, is that if we wait until there is a specific proposal, then we will get 14 days to conduct that entire consultation. So it will not be a meaningful consultation, which is why I want and I propose tonight that we ask a few simple questions. Tonight, we embark on that process so that we are prepared. Now, why are this shifting sands happening in the gaming landscape in Tasmania right now? Well, it's because the Tasmanian government's Future of Gaming in Tasmania Future Gaming Market policy proposes that the exclusivity arrangements under the deed with the federal group to conduct casino operations and operate electronic gaming machines in this state will end in 2023. And so the implementation of that change in the law, which is coming one way or the other, that may result in additional venues in Kingborough seeking to attain a licence to operate poker machines in hotels and clubs. Now, currently we have 50 poker machines in pubs and clubs, 20 machines in one venue in Snug and 30 machines in another venue in Kingston. And a community interest test, which was introduced in 2016, will now be applied to all new applications to operate poker machines. So this is coming, whether we like it or not, whether we think it's relevant or not. We are a key community stakeholder, and we will be asked by the community what our position is. So when this law expires, new venues will get involved. And we need to be ready. What is the council's official opinion on poker machines? We don't have one. what evidence would we use to create one if a community interest test for a Kingborough venue would happen tomorrow? We don't know what evidence we'd use. If a community interest test happens in Kingborough, we only have 14 days to do the research, ask the community questions, circulate those questions around, both to individuals and to members of local organisations, ask the community their feedback, compile that feedback, draft a submission, get it edited and checked for accuracy, and then approved by the General Manager and the Mayor, shown to key stakeholders. I now request, if you would indulge me under item 22, section 4 of the procedures, for an extra 3 minutes, just to finish up.
I believe someone needs to ask, needs to move a motion.
That you I move that the speaker be heard for a further 3 minutes.
That'll make it easier.
It's very charitable.
Second, there you go. All those in favour, please say aye.
No.
Those against? No. I have a division. All those in favour of the motion to add an extra 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
Yes,
three minutes. No. All those in, we'll have a division, so all those in favour of the motion to add 3 minutes to Councillor Cordova's time, please raise your hand. Councillor Street, Reet, Fox, Cordova, Midgley, Winter, and those against is councillors. Those against, please raise your hand. Councillors Grace and Bastone. The motion is carried. 3 minutes starting from now. Off we
go. I do appreciate it. Thank you. There is a very real possibility, Mayor, that the first time we get an inkling that a venue wants pokies in Kingborough will be an advertisement in the newspaper. And then we have 14 days to develop a policy and make a submission. Now, in the 96 days that pubs and clubs were forced to close their pokies, it's estimated that Kingborough residents saved $618,000. The average electronic gaming machine takes in about $50,000 per year, so there are about 50,000 reasons why, when the laws change, that venues might investigate the possibility of getting pokies in their venue. And we need to know what our position is, and we need to know, to be frank, what the community's position is, because otherwise we'll just be talking out of thin air when we do make our submission within those 14 days. Kingborough Council needs to canvass community views on poker machines right now so that the engagement mechanism, the engagement process, is meaningful and not rushed. If this council chooses to wait until a specific proposal comes before us, as is suggested in the officer's response, then we will be knowingly choosing to provide less than 14 days for consultation. In that instance, I think that this council would rightly be criticised for not giving this issue the attention it deserves, in line with the significant amount of community interest in the matter. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Grace.
I just think this is a totally waste of council's time. Absolutely waste of council's time and staff time also. This is a government matter. The state government makes the decisions, not local government, thank goodness. And as far as 14 days, you're concerned about, councillor, what about the 14 days that the ratepayers are only given on a development application? That's it. That's acceptable, is it? I don't think so, but anyway, take for an example Snug, where I come from. When they didn't have poker machines at Snug, I don't know how many people got caught drink driving when drink driving was introduced and down to 0.5. This has got people off the road. They can go to their local venue, spend, have a meal, and put $50 or $100, whatever they want, through the pokies. I've been told by a couple of the pubs, only for the pokies, they shut their door. And some of those pubs, I think, Mayor, are paying somewhere around about $40,000 in rates on their premises. And $40,000 is a lot of money. I don't support this, and I know the people that I represent will be horrified if council wastes their energy on something like this.
Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. This matter has come before council in the past and was dealt with, but it's coming to us in a different form this time. I feel we'll be more informed if we are asked for an opinion on this, if we go ahead with a survey. it affects, gambling affects the whole community, and particularly our businesses, where money is lost by people putting the money in the slot machines instead. And there are many social implications of that, including households having less money to spend on food and other necessities, and often the families and children of gamblers are heavily affected. I think it's important that we also see the positive sides of gambling. I guess it's a form of entertainment. It's a release to some people who find it a distraction. And we don't need to be prejudiced against gambling. I know it is something that is popular with a sector of our community, but at the same time, it does affect the rest of the community. And I think it's important that we know the facts, that we know the numbers of people involved, the amount of money that is lost or potentially lost in the community if we have more outlets, and how that affects our community. So I think it's just a matter of gathering information and knowing facts when we're faced with making real decisions and being ahead of the game. And I really appreciate the fact that Councillor Cordova has put this motion to Council now, when we don't have a particular venue in mind that we have to agree or disagree on, but that we look at it in a more holistic manner. So I support the motion thoroughly. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to thank Councillor Cordova for doing the research and finding out very important information in regards to putting forward this motion. I know that it's something that he hasn't just taken lightly for the sake of putting it forward as a topic of interest. It is something that he has considered interest. He has spoken to well-educated people from the Anglicare Social Impact program, and also MLC Meg Webb, who also worked in this area and did quite a lot of research. And as he stated, both of them did state that it is something for Council to consider. And if you look across Tasmania and Australia, that councils do actually do consider this, and we do have an impact and a part to play. As Councillor Fox said, it does affect people in our community. It is something hidden that not all of us see, and I'm just reading from the Meg Webb MLC. She has a petition out at the moment, and it says, for every person who has a problem with gambling, there are 5 to 10 people around them who are also experiencing harm, families, friends and work colleagues. Pokies contribute to family breakdown, homelessness, crime, family violence, poverty, mental ill health and suicide. So in actually going out to the community, it's those voices that we don't hear. It's those hidden voices that we don't know about pokies' harm and what matters to them. So I think... And also in regards to the 14 days turnaround, that was actually quite surprising, and I would hate to see that came to us at Council to only realise that then a consultation around our ASA actually takes 4 weeks to actually provide a thorough community input. So I think it's very valuable information. We'll be ahead of the game, and I'll probably see that other councils will probably follow suit in regards to this.
Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a great difficulty with this, particularly in the sorts of questions that are asked here at the moment, and I know they're indicative only, but I think it would create a false expectation on people that we were able to do something about this. Do you think poker machines should be removed from pubs and clubs in Kingborough? That's not our decision. And by putting it up on a council website gives the idea that we have something to do with this. Which venues in Kingborough do you think should be allowed to have poker machines? Casinos only. We have no casino in Kingborough and very unlikely to ever get one. I just think that this is not our business. I know Councillor Cordova said that how much money had been lost by the saved by the poker machines not being on. But I think that's, in fact, a very simplistic way of looking at it. A large number of people went on to gamble online, and, you know, I think that that's probably a much worse thing to happen for people to be sitting there gambling online. But my main thing against this is that it gives people the expectation that we as the council will be able to do something about what's here, and we can't. It's a state government matter.
That's a great bit of question.
Two questions. Mayor, what about keno, horse racing? That's gambling, and
the question is,
we're not addressing all the issues relating to gambling, which is
definitely not a question, Councillor Grace. Thank you.
Question is then, maybe that's a question. Maybe this council might realise why the Labor government lost the last election through poker machines.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. That's not a question either, actually. I don't know why. Thank you for it.
That's a state.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how it's
not probably true, but in
every meeting.
Well, every meeting facts we do get in the way, Councillor Grace.
Every meeting, just for the, but we've just disintegrated a little bit. Every meeting, Councillor Grace says he's going to ask me a question, and very rarely is it. Anyway, thank you. Councillor Street.
I know how to get them past you. If you just put upward inflection at the end of the sentence, you think it's a question. Mayor, I'm no fan of poker machines. Frankly, I'm no fan of gambling. It's something that I've grown out of myself. And the harm that it does is obviously a problem. My difficulty, along the same lines as Councillor Bastone, is that I think in putting this survey out, it does unfairly give our residents the idea that there is something that we can do about the matter. And a community interest submission is one thing, but it is not being able to answer the fundamental questions that have been proposed, albeit they being examples only. And that's always been my problem with motions of this type that seek to deal with matters outside the remit of council. Is that it's one thing for a community group and for a stakeholder group to take a view on these things. It is another thing entirely for a council to take a view on these things when council's representatives are democratically elected by people. It gives the unfair assumption that there is something that we can do about the matter when there is not. Further, I also have difficulty with this idea that every matter that there is and every matter that's decided by council should go out to public consultation. The reason that I have a problem with that is because, A, council has finite resources and I think we need to allocate those resources efficiently, but B, I think there is a reason that councillors are democratically elected, and I think that there is a reason that we receive an allowance for the work that we do, and that is because it is our job to go out to the community and talk to the community about their views on things, not to outsource it to our staff. I think that's an abrogation of our duties, to try and outsource community consultation to our staff. We're elected to represent the views of our community, and ultimately, if at the end of the term that I'm serving at the moment, my community doesn't agree with the views that I've taken on things, then they simply will not vote for me again. And if they do that, then that's fine. That's their choice. We don't have direct democracy anywhere in Australia, let alone local government, and I just fear that every time we go out to public consultation on a matter, however well-intentioned it is, we move towards a situation where people think that that's what they're getting. And in reality, it is very difficult to get that right. A consultation of this type is going to attract responses from a particular section of the community that disagree with the existence of poker machines, and that's fine. Like I said, I have a lot of sympathy for that point of view. I may not entirely agree with it, but I've got a lot of sympathy for it. But that doesn't mean that every response that we get back, or that if we get a majority of responses back on this, that that's the prevailing community view. It's only the prevailing view of those that have responded, not of the community as a whole. So I don't accept that we're going to get anything of value out of this, and certainly don't accept that we're going to get the value out of it that Councillor Cordova respectfully says that we are going to get out of it. If and when there is a new poker machine application in Kingborough, I will happily sit around the table and debate whether or not we should put in a community interest submission and what that submission should contain. But I don't accept that it's necessary for us to go out to extensive public consultation in order to have that debate and discussion around the council table.
Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I think back over my number of years on council now, and I realise that I have, I think, all bar one occasion, always voted against a motion that seeks to have us as a council interfere in the workings of state government or federal government. And so I have to say that I was coming to this debate tonight to be consistent with that. And I do recall the last time that Councillor Cordova brought a motion, I think it was about the nuclear treaty, and several of us who voted against it at that time, I recall, got quite a stern word from Councillor Cordova about the fact that we didn't have any principles because we had voted against it. I remember actually being quite offended about that at that time, but restrained myself from taking a point of order. I have to say I've been persuaded this evening by Councillor Cordova's argument about the fact that a community interest test is coming, and we as a council, like every other council, have been identified as stakeholders, and if we are, then we have to have an opinion. And I believe that the best way to get that opinion is to ask the community. I don't know that necessarily these questions are phrased in the right way, but I acknowledge that they are only a samples. I'd like to see, for example, the reference to a casino taken out, because I think that will just confuse people. But I also do think, I fully appreciate the points that Councillor Bastone and Councillor Street made, and that is that we do have to make it very clear to the community when we're promoting this. If this motion is successful and we do go through the Our Say forum, that we do not have the ultimate say in relation to approval of poker machines. That rests with the state government. We are merely a stakeholder like other stakeholders. So I think, you know, if this is successful, let's be very clear about that so we aren't confusing the public. But I am swayed by this because I believe that it would be interesting to get the feedback from the community, and I believe that there is a lot of harm done by poker machines. But I also take the point that Councillor Bastone made, the fact that they've been closed, people have been gaming elsewhere, so you don't actually have to leave home these days to do that. But there are, in various aspects of my work over many years, I've seen the impact of poker machines on not just individuals but on their extended families, and particularly on children, and it's not nice. So I'd like to see us go through this, but I would like us to get our community engagement and media officer to provide some professional advice on that wording should this motion be successful, and I thank Councillor Cordova for bringing the motion to us today.
Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Mayor. After listening to debate, I will speak against the motion on a number of reasons. One, the officer's response indicates that Council has limited resources available to undertake a community engagement. And, of course, what do we want to do and what do we want to do with that information? Does that mean that if there's an area in our municipality that comes back and says, yes, we want it, that we're going to support poker machines into that area? Because that's what we're asking. So if that's the question, we really have an obligation to then ensure that those people who ask for it, in fact, receive it. I have played the pokies. I've played the pokies in New South Wales, and I've enjoyed it. I've gone in with $20, $30. And when that $20 or $30 is gone, which I knew it would do, I've walked away quite happy, having spent a number of time. Since the introduction of electronic pokies in Tasmania, I have never, ever used them. I have never even looked at them, and I have no intentions of using them because they just don't excite me, don't offer me anything. And the electronic part of it, I don't think is as good as the old lever that you used to, and everyone had the way of doing the lever they had, whereas the press button, I think it's, you might as well just go up to one of the croupiers, give them $100 and walk away. Having said that, I do know a number of people who do go to places like the casino once a week, once a fortnight, once a month, with people of their own age, have lunch, coffee, afternoon tea, whatever it might be, and have a day out, and they go through $50 or whatever they go, and they have an enjoyable day out, and it's a day where they socialise. My big concern with any type of gambling is online gambling. Online gambling is getting better and quicker and faster, and it's sucking more people in day by day. And the figures that I last saw several years ago suggest that they even are financing a lot of illegal operations. But you can just set up this online gambling and that's away. People who go to the poker machines have to travel somewhere, and for whatever reason, whether they enjoy the gambling or whether they're addicted to it. And when we start talking about addicted to it, we cannot wrap everyone up in cotton wool and protect them. And I know some people personally who are addicted to gambling, and it's not pleasant. But should we, if you like, penalise others, the big majority, on some of the minority? And that is a question that you have to live with. Of course, a bigger issue in this day and age to gambling is alcohol. But we're all happy with alcohol because we all like a drink and we let it go. And I think if you want to get the statistics on what alcohol does, I think you'd be surprised. Getting back to the gambling, I don't support gambling in this facet, as I indicated before, but I know people who do like to have a flutter in their words, and I think they should be allowed to. My question comes back that if one of our areas does come back and say, yes, we do want to increase gambling, I don't really want to go to the state government and say, look, we've got two poker machine outlets in our municipality, we should now support three because the people in that area have suggested they need it. I don't support that either. I believe that if you're going to go out with a questionnaire, no matter what the questionnaire is, then you are offering something to those people, the way they see it. And in this case, it will be the anti-poking machine people, the lobbyists. And look, I don't have an issue with what they're fighting for. However, it doesn't take in a across-the-board view of the issue. There was something else I was going to add, and it seems to... Oh, I know. And, of course, if we're going to survey the community, we can't just do it on our say. We have to do it properly, and that means everyone has to get a paper. Because I know a number of people that have no intentions of going online, and I know a number of people would never, ever respond. Finished.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you still can.
Thanks. My question is, does our communications and engagement manager think that this kind of consultation would be limited to our say, or can one envisage a broader engagement? Just to, I guess, answer Councillor Wass's point there.
Ms Wilcox.
Through you, Mayor. It would ultimately, the decision on what the council would like the engagement to achieve as to how we would arrange it, bearing in mind the resources that we have and the current engagement projects that we have on at the moment, which are quite numerous. So, yes, of course, we would always look at different ways for people to engage. We would never just engage online. We'd have to take in a traditional media and other forms so that everybody was able to participate in the project.
Thanks. A further question. Is it conceivable that we could kind of have a softly approach where we extend the consultation over a large period of time in order to fit in with council resourcing constraints? Is that a possibility?
Ms. Wilcox. Well, ultimately, that's a decision of council and my management.
And my final question about that is, is it other questions that have been drafted here, which I might add were drafted by yours truly, are they able to be improved with a wise hand like the council staff?
Through you, Mayor, all questions are probably able to be improved.
That's the sort of advice I get nearly every day, so very good. Okay, there are no other lights. The question I was going to ask Ms. Wilcox is how many consultations or projects are you currently doing and how many have you got planned going forward?
Currently I'm managing 8 engagement projects and seven communication projects. So as you're aware, the previous few council meetings, almost every second report had an engagement requirement attached to them. So at the moment we are quite busy with those projects across the council.
So if the motion was supported tonight, how would we resource this particular engagement?
Through you, Mayor, that would be something I would need to speak to the management team about.
Sounds as though it would be difficult to manage with existing resources, and I think that was in the comments, the officer's comments as well. I've also got a question for Councillor Cordova, a legitimate question. You've referenced the community interest test for pokies, and that was announced back in 2016. I can find that announced. But has that actually been legislated, or is that part of the new state laws? Was that in place already?
Yes, so it's been legislated in, I believe, November of 2016. Okay. And interestingly, the Kingborough Council signed up to the Community Voices on Pokies Reform before that community test was even invented.
Yep. How many of those community interest tests have taken place so far, if you know the answer?
I spoke to the Gaming Commission. It was originally designed with a particular venue in Glenorchy and Moona in mind, and for various reasons, both of those venues then withdrew their application. So as of today, nobody has yet fully gone through a community interest test.
Okay. So since November 2016, almost 3.5 years, there haven't been any community interest tests actually done. I'm also not aware, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's a formal role for local government in that process. The only process it would have would be as a respondent to the role. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. There are key stakeholder. They're defined as a key stakeholder, but that's not a statutory obligation for a council to participate, but they would be community expected to participate.
Yeah, so it's existed since November 26th, 3.5 years. There hasn't actually been a community interest test undertaken because... as we know, pokies are actually declining in the in interest. There's a lot of competition online, as referenced, and there haven't been any new venues opened up during that time. There's also not a statutory role for local government in this. So the statement that or a position that council would need to have a response, I don't think, is correct. When I think about pokies and the regulation of it, I think about our state politicians. We've all just seen a 2018 election that was dominated by pokies and the results. And so I think the community would expect their local government representatives to be making decisions about pokies, not their state government, state parliamentarians to make their position known on this. Having said all of that, I don't like pokies either. I've never liked them. That's not what we're debating. We're debating whether or not we should go out and consult about it. I not aware of any proposal for a new pokies venue. I don't expect to see one. There hasn't been any in 3.5 years, and so I don't see any urgency. We've heard from our communications advisor, who says she's very busy, unable to properly resource it at the moment, and for that reason, as much as I've learned a lot from Councillor Cordova's motion, I couldn't support it this evening. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. This has been a robust debate, and I thank councillors for indulging me with extra time. We've heard that a meaningful engagement and community consultation on any issue, but including pokies, A meaningful community consultation needs to take about 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 42 days. We've heard that when a Kingborough venue wants to have pokies in their premises, this council will have only 14 days to respond because of that community interest test. So we know we need 6 weeks to have a meaningful engagement, 4 to 6 weeks. We know that we'll only have 14 days. We also know that the sands are shifting when it comes to gaming because of a change in this major legislation which will take place very soon. But we also know that a community interest test, even though it hasn't happened in 3.5 years, it could happen at any time. But particularly because of the shifting sands of the gaming landscape, it is much more likely to happen now than ever before in 50 years. So we've heard that a community interest test is coming whether we like it or not. And we've also heard that this motion isn't about saying whether or not pokies are right or wrong. It's actually about listening. It's about listening to the community to hear what they want so that when and if we need to do a submission, we actually have something meaningful to say that is evidence-based and data-driven rather than just coming off the tops of our heads. We've also heard from councillors about online gaming, alcohol and keno and drunk driving, all of which are irrelevant to a motion about running a consultation on pokies. But since it is of concern, I would welcome that proposal when it comes before us. We've heard that for the first time in 50 years, we actually need to be engaged with this issue so that we're ready, because we know that we won't just have to run a consultation. We'll have 14 days in total to draft questions, ask the community, collect and gather responses, draft a submission for the Gaming Commission, get it edited, checked and approved and circulated to key stakeholders and then submit it. But we have heard also from the Mayor that maybe we don't even have to do that at all. Maybe we can just say nothing, because of course it's not statutory legislation that says we have to say anything. We could just take no position on it. And the question then fundamentally becomes, what is the community expectation about an issue such as pokies, which is in the media all the time? What is the reputational risk to the council of not having an opinion when we are named up by the commission itself, by all of the gaming experts as a key stakeholder? What does it say to the community when you say nothing at all? So we've heard that we might accidentally give residents the wrong impression that we have somehow the power to overcome state legislation. And so, apparently, to avoid the risk of accidentally giving residents the wrong impression, councillors have indicated that they would in fact be happy to craft a submission to a community interest test within 14 days, knowing that it wouldn't really be that effective. Because you need 42 days, not 14.
Point of order, Mayor. I'm reticent to interrupt, but I know that this is time for the restatement or for the winding up of the argument. I think Councillor Cordova's introducing new information and probably also misrepresenting councillors at the same time.
What part of the misrepresentation is a point of order, but you'd have to clarify what part you felt councillors were misrepresented on, so I missed it.
In relation to saying that councillors are apparently happy to craft a submission and that we would be happy with it not having any effect.
Do you recall that? Yes. No, I don't. I think I agree with Councillor Street that statement would misrepresent our position, yes.
Can I rephrase that statement?
That's a great idea.
If we allow, so I will withdraw what I said and rephrase it to say that because we know that we only have 14 days to draft all these questions and put them in a submission, and we've also heard from our council staff tonight that we actually need 4 to 6 weeks, we know that mathematically there's a mismatch there, that we will need more time to run a meaningful engagement. What we can do is pay lip service to engaging. We can do that. There is plenty of time. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. The motion from Councillor Cordova is that the council staff will conduct an engagement to understand the Kingborough community's stance on poker machines. It was moved, definitely wasn't moved by Councillor Street, I don't think. It was moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And those against?
No.
I have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Reet, Fox, Cordova and Midgley. And those against is Councillor Grace, Street, Bastone, Wass and Winter. The motion is lost. Would someone mind grabbing the Deputy Mayor? Oh, you're off. Thank you. Okay. So we're moving to the next item, which is actually just for the record For those still watching us online after 3 hours, hello to you. Hopefully it's not too many. 30 people, hello. The petition to amend the sealed plan number 171047 affecting land at 361 Redwood Road, Kingston, for PDA surveyors on behalf of New Horizons, page 125. Oh. Okay, it's been a long night. Apologies. I've missed a couple of things. And they are, would you believe, we're still on to petitions still being actioned. petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. At the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. Now we move on to that amend the sealed plan number 171047, and that's actually been withdrawn by the request of the proponent. Council has withdrawn it from the agenda this evening. I'm sure it'll be considered at a later date. So we move on to page 188, the Hobart City Deal and Implementing the Kingston Place Strategy. There's a recommendation on page 191. Hoping there's mover and second. Moved by Councillor Street, second by Councillor Cordova. What a combination. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll take that as a comment. This is a motion that arises out of a workshop held for councillors in relation to the funding received by council from the Hobart City Deal and the Kingston Place Strategy. I think I speak for all councillors when I say that the City Deal funding and the Kingston Place Strategy is an incredibly exciting prospect for council and for Kingborough and for Central Kingston. I'm excited to see the proposed works arising out of the Kingston Place Strategy, noting that this evening we are simply approving the signing of the grant deed for the City Deal funding and approving the use of those funds for the implementation of the Kingston Place Strategy, and that we'll receive a proposed work plan for the implementation of that place strategy at a later date. So on that basis, I commend the motion to council. As I say, very exciting for me personally, and I think very exciting for Kingborough as a whole, that we have a place strategy that is going to improve our central business district, which has been long overdue, and we finally have the funds to do it right, which is also pleasing. I therefore commend the motion to council.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. In echoing Councillor Street's sentiments, I agree this is also a very exciting opportunity for our municipality. I thank the state government for trusting us to expend that money and to determine our complementary council projects within the Hobart City Deal. I think that the revitalisation of our CBD is an excellent expenditure of that funds, attracting people into the CBD, more trees, more walkability, hopefully people are getting about and moving a bit more and not just stopping and passing through. And I guess the more people we have shopping locally, and we have had a number of campaigns lately about that, shopping locally is something that will support our local businesses and our municipality. And I think this is a wonderful idea.
Councillor Reet.
Look, I am very excited about the possibilities of reinvigorating the main section of the Kingston CBD, because it's pretty obvious when you drive up there now that there is a gap, that there was this little bit here fixed and a little bit up there, and then in between is pretty unattractive, really, if we're honest, and the road isn't in good condition, and there are a lot of things that need to be done. I guess I'm just a little bit disappointed that the perception that was given by the state government with the Hobart City Deal, with the Kingston congestion package, was, and I quote, to reduce single occupant drivers commuting to work, increase the number of people using public transport, improve road access connections and provide park and ride facilities, none of which this project does. So it's been a kind of, don't get me wrong, I'm pleased we're getting this funded. It's a big project where we're going to have to fund it regardless at some point. But the state government made a very big deal during the last election about the fact that they were determined to do something about the traffic situation for those commuters who go into the city because they have to, because that's where their workplace is, and this package does nothing to alleviate that. So I also don't think it does anything to assist with the bus issues, because the frustrating thing for me out of all of this is that the bus stops will remain pretty much in the same place where they are now, on opposite sides of the road, and we're still going to have issues with multiple buses being there during peak times and the congestion that that causes. So I would have thought the sensible thing would have been to have the bus interchange over at Kingston Park. Metro made it very clear to the council in a number of workshops when they came here that that was going to add a number of 30 seconds or 1 minute on and throw the timetables out, and so that it wasn't acceptable. But until you've got a decent place for people to get on and off a bus, and particularly people who have mobility issues, we are still excluding a number of people from being able to do just what the state government has wanted to do and what we've wanted to do, and that is to get people more into public transport. It's also disappointing too that it does mean that we will have to look ourselves at potentially developing the park and ride facility at Kingston High School if we're going to have more park and ride, because that's not funded out of this package either. So, look, don't get me wrong, I love the plans that have been developed. I'm going to be excited to see that section done, but I also think within the Hobart City deal and the Kingston congestion package, there are some missed opportunities, and I don't think, at the end of the day, that beautifying our main street and tinkering around the edges is going to fulfil those the objectives of the Hobart City deal. So it is disappointing from that respect, but I'm also glad, on the other hand, to see the funding. So a little bit of both ways on this one.
Councillor Westwood.
I had a question in regards to the bus interchange. The proposal that was put to us by PlaceScore was to actually have a bus stop on either end of the Channel Highway. And I note we are spending, we have $800,000 for the development of the Kingston Bus Transit Centre. Does Council have any plans to, like, where do we plan to put the bus transit centre, given we have recommendations that should go either end of the Channel Highway?
Deputy General Manager.
Through you, Mayor, we haven't come to a conclusion on that, is the easiest answer. The place strategy certainly recommends one thing, and as Councillor Reet said, we may have to take a staged approach and we may have to leave it where it is to some extent. But whatever we do, it won't be the same as it is now, because as I showed in the workshop, there was four buses lined up down the main street. Well, that won't happen, or it can't happen, because wherever we put it, we will have to create bus bays in order to create the wider pavements and things like that. So we can't sustain the existing operation. So it may well be that the bus interchange or transit centre is not even anywhere in the main street. Could be in Goshawk Way, could be in Church Street, could be somewhere else, who knows. Could be outside of the CBD. So we've got a reasonably open mind on that. We've got a starting point, which is the place strategy, and then we go from there. But I think it's important to note that we're not, at this stage with this recommendation, we're not trying to come up with answers to those sorts of problems. We just want to get the in-principle support from Council that we'd like to use this money for this particular purpose, but we've got a big job in front of us in terms of developing how we provide for this work plan, which is this point C in the recommendation, which determines where things like bus interchanges go, which which parts of the street gets designed first, you know, what's the scheduling of works and things like that. So, yeah, a lot of work to be done in the first few months just to try and pull the whole project together.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. As other councillors have stated, it is an exciting project for Kingborough and something that residents have been waiting for a long time. I can't remember exactly how many master plans and things this has come to for council. It's five. This is five that it has, master plans of many different proposals of what Central Kingston can look like. So it's great that there is actually money to do something. But I also note as well, in regards to what Councillor Reet has said, in regards to what the money is to be used for, to bust congestion, to encourage people to get out of their cars, to catch buses. I note that we've spoken about, you know, in the future we'd like people from Blackmans Bay and local areas to be able to bus into Kingston. Let's hope that they do. That's a massive shift and a behaviour change to actually do that sort of a thing. I also note we've got, you know, major subdivisions and developments happening close by, but yet we look at the linkages and walking tracks and active transport links, and I don't really see those happening, so therefore there's impacts in actually getting people out walking and cycling, or perhaps walking to their local bus stop to catch a bus. I think there's massive impacts we need to look at, apart from as well beautifying, creating economy in this Central Kingston area as well. And I note as well that in our council workshop there was it's great to see that we are going to be employing a project manager for this, because it is a massive project. I think they'll have to be, as was shared at the council workshop, very multifaceted and skilled, because it not only considers local business economy, it involves a diverse amount of different stakeholder groups, which is great to see that there will be stakeholders and different reference group involved in overseeing these projects, and no doubt engineering and complicated project matters. But fundamentally, it is my biggest question is, yeah, how do we get people to change their behaviour in regards to busting this congestion? I had a couple of questions in regards to the report. 4.2, where it states infrastructure improvements to reduce traffic congestion. I'm just wondering, for the record and the people at home, can you please explain how this will encourage residents to travel to Kingston by public transport? Please, if I could have a...
Mr.
Ferrier. Through you, Mayor. The idea there is, in that particular dot point in 4.2, is that what we're hoping to do with, if we can create an attractive bus destination, people use the bus, it might be a place where they can wait for buses in comfort, they can... it's a convenient and a much more sort of conducive place to catch and get off a bus. So you know, hopefully with the money which is being made available, we can actually provide some facilities which you know, people feel very comfortable with, and in catching public transport. That's the point in relation to the infrastructure improvements which are being made there.
Thank you. A question regarding 4.4 in regards to the active transport links. There was a point there raised in 4.4. I understand that, and it is really great, there is 20k put aside for the Kingborough bike plan proposals. I'm just wondering, in that 7 million, if in the Kingborough bike plan proposal that there is some really immediate projects that will help to, I guess, promote the use of people walking or cycling, is there any, will there be any sort of money left over in that $7 million to look at any of those active transport links to make them happen, so we'd have to apply for more funding or wait for more federal grants and things like that?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, the Kingborough bike plan is for Kingborough. This funding is just for the CBD, for the Kingston, Central Kingston area. So clearly there will be a need for more funding from other sources to do or to implement recommendations that the bike plan might have in other places outside of Kingston. But yes, I would anticipate that there would be some works which would be covered by this funding which would implement some components of the bike plan where they relate to the CBD. I'd imagine the bike plan would be completed fairly early on in the 3-year period, in the latter times, there might be opportunities then to implement some of those recommendations.
Thank you. And just in regards to how will council be provided with updates regarding the project and if it is all approved and just the timelines and things like that?
Mr. Berry.
Through you, Mayor, the engagement strategy which will be developed as part of this will be an engagement strategy which reports back to council as well as to the community, and we'd obviously expect that there'll be some very interested stakeholders in how the CBD would be developed in terms of its some of the commercial operators and things like that. So a big part of this work is very much about reducing the need for people to have to go to Hobart in the first place. And that's part of its anti-congestion sort of busting sort of component. But, you know, we would really like to start to develop some, cause and effect type relationships there as to how successful we are in doing that. So it's not only reporting on the actual works which is being done, but we'd like to think that over time, and it might be, you know, not just these 3 years, but over a much longer period, you start to think about what's the benefits and what's the how effective has this work been in terms of achieving some of those larger objectives. So certainly reporting back to council will be an integral part of the project from a whole range of different perspectives.
Great, thank you.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. We have a fairly unique opportunity here to embark upon the first stage of the Kingston Place strategy. And to me, one of the most enjoyable things about reading that place strategy is to see the vision that we can bring to fruition. And indeed, by passing this motion tonight, we will be embarking on the first phase of bringing that vision to fruition to make a green, walkable and engaging place to stay, to make the Kingston CBD our regional hub and a place where walking and cycling links and public transport are made easy to transition into a unified and legible regional centre where everything is well connected, uniquely walkable with lush, green and engaging streets, attractive to a range of retail, commercial and residential land uses. Kingston will be able to achieve what others have failed to do, supported by an independent local economy and an inclusive public realm that brings nature into the centre. So what is so important about this? Fundamentally, the best way to reduce traffic congestion inside of Hobart is to make sure that we have such a wonderful CBD that people don't need to go to Hobart, because it is such an enjoyable place to stay that people can get all the things that they need right here. It has an additional benefit, of course, that not only does it reduce congestion, but it enhances our health and well-being, it enhances the livability of the neighbourhood, it makes Kingborough a more attractive place for residents and for visitors alike. So what I am particularly thankful for is that this strategy really does recognise that as Kingborough develops further, which it is doing already of its own volition, as the population increases, it's vital that the central business district of Kingston provides a viable alternative to local residents so that they don't have to go to Hobart because they have everything that they need here. But not only do they have everything they need, but it's also an enjoyable place to stay. And this helps to ensure that congestion for commuters into Hobart does not worsen over time, but it also makes Kingborough a more attractive place to live, work and play. I also enjoy the idea that we're going to create a smart, livable and investment-ready city and to support growth and create jobs. And at this time where we're living through such economic inequality, precarity both for social well-being but also for our environment, what better time to thoroughly invest in our regional hub, to thoroughly invest in our CBD and to create a place where we bring nature into the centre, to create a place where we improve walking, cycling links to public transport. We create a place that has greater networks and connectivity, and at the end of the day, we are going to be so proud of a green, walkable and engaging place to stay in our Kingston CBD. And this is the first phase of that, and so I wholeheartedly commend the motion.
Councillor Fox.
I think all councillors realise how excited I am about this project, and it's taken a long time to get here. And I think it's wonderful that both state and our council and federal government are putting their money and their skills and their passion behind this, because this has also been the preferred route that the state government would like to take with this money. It's a huge investment in our community, and it's what we've needed to break the back of this project, which we've tried to get off the ground for, as they say, five master plans, maybe 25, 30 years we've been trying to get to this point in time, and here we are about to start on this project together and all working on it together, and I think it's going to be a wonderful outcome for the future of Kingborough. And I think it's particularly good that people will be encouraged to stay and spend their money in Kingborough and do it in a healthy way by walking and cycling and catching the bus, as well as, of course, having reasonable roads to drive on and keeping out of that main street of Kingston, which everybody would agree is the worst street in Kingborough, with the congestion and the lack of certainty for pedestrians as well as cars. So I think it's going to be a great improvement to the whole municipality, and I think it's a very exciting motion. Thank you.
Councillor Grace.
Mayor, to be believe it or not, I support this. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to a couple of the workshops. I'm excited the fact that there'll be plenty of consultation within the community. Business owners, buses, etc., taxis, one would think, all those public transport. But the area that it takes in, I'm a little bit sceptical on. Does it take in Kentucky Fried, I forget the name of that little place, and Merton Vale? Will it go right down as far as the roundabout at Huntingfield? And will it take into account the traffic that comes through Roslyn Avenue, Kingston Beach, so we can integrate all that into working our way through the central CDB? I think if it doesn't, it should. That's my opinion. And of course, we do know that the how many lots are going to be built at Huntingfield, 400 or something. Are we looking through that Huntingfield and putting another access road out onto Haldon Road or back onto the Channel Highway somewhere near the golf course to feed the traffic? I mean, that, we'll have plenty of time, but unfortunately I didn't get to the workshops, and I think this is a great start, and particularly if council is going to employ, I don't know what they said, a project manager or whatever, which will be full-time, to be able to speak to the people and the business sector and also councillors.
Mr. Ferrier.
Through Mayor, Councillor Grace makes a good point in the sense that there are a lot of other projects and a lot of other issues that we need to be dealing with, but this particular funding is limited to the implementation of the place strategy, so we are trying to focus it and we're trying to make it a more discrete sort of package of, a program of projects within that, but that said, there's a lot of other issues which are transport related, which extend beyond the CBD, and a lot of these are on state roads, they're not on council roads as well, so they're issues where the council needs to lobby hard with the state government to address issues such as the Algona roundabout and the Channel Highway between Algona and Margate. The bypass section of the Channel Highway is a huge potential for improvements. The roundabout up near where the fast food outlets are is going to be congested in future, and that needs to be upgraded. There's a whole range of different things which this funding won't be able to go close to looking at. But all that said, it's really important that when we do look at the CBD, we're conscious of all those things that are happening around it, and that we're trying to not make those situations worse and that we're trying to sort of make sure that whatever we're doing within the CBD complements all those other potential improvements around as well. So it's not just about this one little sort of area within the middle of the CBD that we need to worry about. There's this whole there's a whole range of other issues that, which are transport related with, throughout Kingston.
That's quite true, and I understand that, but if you're not going to, I know obviously we're limited to what we can spend this money on, but we must go and look at the big, otherwise we're going to get the CDB congested that way. You won't be able to move traffic through here unless we look at all the other corridors. And I think that's important.
Councillor Baston.
Thank you, Mayor. In the 4.2, the further development of Central Kingston can reduce the need for people to move into Hobart for employment or services and provide a viable alternative for local residents. Now, the bit that worries me, of course, is that we in fact don't have that many shops and things here that people regularly go shopping at. We have no bookstore, we have no shoe store. And have the council looked at a way of encouraging these businesses to come into Kingston, such as the state government did and the city of Hobart did when they took away Vodafone from us? Have we looked at some way of bringing things here with rates reduction or something like that to try and increase our actual business area?
Mr. Ferrier?
The way I sort of look at this work plan that we need to prepare, it's sort of got three main sort of components to it. There is the actual, probably the most important is the actual infrastructure, the work you do on the ground. The other component is the community and business engagement we need to do. And the other part is the economic development and planning work that needs to be done. And they're the three things that come through in the place strategy as well. So it's not just about building new roads and improving the streetscapes and the public realm and those sorts of things. It's also looking at the economic development of the CBD and how that can be improved. So, and we can only do that with the businesses. You know, we're only the council. We're not providing those sorts of services that the businesses provide. So it will require some engagement with businesses to explore what they need and how council can help. The council has tried rate relief in the past. If that's something the council is interested in, then we can look at it again. Yeah, look, we'd be looking at all opportunities, but very much, you know, an integral part of this process is the economic development side of it, looking at development opportunities, key development sites, all those sorts of things, of which there are quite a few in the CBD. And it's certainly a problem that there's little diversity in the retail sector within Kingston. You've got, you know, like you say, Councillor, there's a lot of gaps within the marketplace within Kingston, and we should be trying to identify where opportunities lie and promote those opportunities and have your prospectuses and things like this to try and get people to invest within the CBD. So it might not all be able to be done within the lifespan of this particular program, but we'd certainly like to think that we'd set up a framework within which we can continue to do that over a number of years. Yeah.
I'm really excited about this. Well, I probably would have been more excited if we spoke about it 3.5 hours ago. It's not what we started with. To address Councillor Reid's point, we sold this, and to combine with the state government, we sold this as a congestion busting package, and what I envisaged, and I think our officers envisaged, was that we would be building park and rides, a large bus transfer station, potentially moving into Kingston Park, doing all sorts of things like that. The reality is, though, that for various reasons, the council's proposal to build a park and ride at the Kingborough Sports Centre wasn't supported by not just state growth, but also by their experts that they brought in. And that's was going to cost a lot of money by the time we did the intersection at Summerlees Road and the Spring Farm Connector Road. It was going to take probably all of this money. So the question then became, do we fight this or do we link in with the Kingston Place strategy and build something that will leave a legacy for decades to come? And I think what we're landing on here is actually a better outcome. Yes, I can see that it's a little bit tenuous about, and it's a bit of a stretch and a bit of a sell to explain that rebuilding Kingston is going to solve congestion issues, because we're not going to solve congestion issues, but do I think it will contribute positively to reducing congestion? Yes, I wholeheartedly do, because what we're moving to now is a strategy of encouraging people not just to stay home for COVID, but just to stay local. Going forward, people, I think, out of COVID-19 are going to start doing more work from home, even within this organisation. People are working from home more often. My wife's no longer working out of TAS Networks. Every day she's working 2 days at home and 2 days at TAS Networks. It means she's going to local cafes, and if that's replicated across Kingborough, I think we're going to see our local businesses supported. If we've got a Kingston CBD that is attractive, then we are going to bring people. We've already done the consultation on this. We've got 1,600 survey responses, and one of the things they said is they wanted outdoor dining. They wanted somewhere nice to go. Councillor Cordova referenced the green Kingston, central Kingston, and that's what the concept designs look like, is a whole bunch of trees, somewhere that you can go to Tasmania's best playground, you can go to the best-looking CBD. The best slide of the one that I remember from PlayScore is the one where she went around and took a photo of Rosny, took a photo of Glenorchy, a photo of the Hobart CBD, and a photo of Kingston, and they all looked as terrible as each other. We didn't stand out at all. They all looked horrendous. And the opportunity for Kingston and for Kingborough is to create a central Kingston which people actually want to go to, where instead of driving the car, stopping and picking up a coffee, getting back in the car and going again, they want to stay. That's the opportunity here, and it's been given to us by the state government that didn't need to, frankly. And I don't think... I know our local members know, but I'm not sure the state government quite understands how transformational this particular part is going to be for us. We've heard that there's been 5 master plans for Kingston in the last couple of decades, and none of them have actually been executed. And here we are, we've done the plan, we've done another plan, yet another plan, yet another consultation, but this time we've actually got the money to do something. What an opportunity it'll leave for this council. If it's remembered for anything, I think it will be, it's a shame this is being dealt with at 9:05 p.m. because I think of all the decisions we make, this is the most important one that we will make, and I'm really, really excited about it. Thanks to Peter Gutwin for making the money available. Thanks to Michael Ferguson for allowing us to use this money for the PlayScore piece. That was actually a bit of a risk for him, I think, and wasn't something that he was immediately comfortable with, but I think having got him down and seen Kingston, I think he's right on board with, and I really appreciate the state's support for this. Kylie Legg from PlayScore did an incredible job, and having someone not from Kingston doing this engagement was the best thing. I could not have done this report because I've been here too long. I've grown up here, and I don't think anyone that represents this area is probably the right person to take a step away and come up with a plan, and Kylie Leake did. Also to Steve Burgess, who sat down with us 12 months ago and said, hey guys, do you really think it's a good idea to just rebuild the Channel Highway the way it is? And we immediately said, yeah, that's a good point, Steve. It's a very bad idea. And from there, this has happened. So I'm really proud of it. Thank you to councillors for your support on this. I'm really excited about how it goes from here. Hopefully we can make some good progress over the next couple of years and show people that the city deal has been a really good thing for Kingborough. To sum up, Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I have a lot of sympathy for the remarks of Councillor Reet, as you do as well, from your contributions. I think that undoubtedly there would have been quicker ways, potentially not easier ways, but quicker ways of alleviating some traffic concern. But since the workshop especially, I have forced myself to become a believer in this because, A, it's something that we desperately need, but, B, I think if you really, if you put yourself in a mind to believe that we can do this and that we can do all the work associated with it as well as just the civil work, we can work as a council to get the planning controls for Central Kingston right so that it encourages the development that we want to see in Central Kingston, that we can, as you say, Mayor, get people to actually want to visit Kingston for Kingston's sake rather than it being an ancillary decision to come and get a coffee or go to the shop or whatever, then I think this is going to work to alleviate congestion over time and probably do a better job over time than some of those other more quick solutions would. Mm. So I leave it at that. Very exciting. I think not only is there a lot of work for staff to do, there is a lot of work for councillors to do as well in this to get the associated parts of the plan right, particularly, as I say, those planning controls. I think that's going to be so essential in making sure that this money isn't wasted.
Thanks, Councillor Street. That was moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Cordova, and the motion is that Council A, approve the use of the Hobart City Deal funds for the purpose of implementing the first stage of the Kingston Place strategy, B, approve the grant D for $7.9 million to be signed by the General Manager on Council's behalf, and C, that the proposed work plan as required by the grant deed be submitted to Council for further consideration prior to submitting it to the Department of State Growth. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. The next item is the sister city relationship, and the recommendation is on page 194. Would anyone like to move the recommendation? Councillor Fox. Seconded by Councillor Mitchley. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. This has taken a while to come to fruition, but I think it's a good recommendation from staff. As we all know, the Able Tasman Art Prize was becoming increasingly difficult on in our community as well as in the Netherlands. It's interesting how all these things have become more obvious now that COVID has hit both of us. It'd be impossible to run that art prize now, but having an email link with young people, having social media and being able to exchange art is now possible. It's still possible, and it's probably going to be a lot more successful and more applicable in both countries. It's really important that we maintain a cultural link with our sister city in Holland, and I think it's important for them that they keep their links with us. So I hope that this will be successful, and I'm appreciative of the staff's recommendation. But there are other projects which I think may come up for consideration in later years. I visited the Able Tasman Council in New Zealand, which is also a sister city of Groothuist, and spoke with their mayor, Mayor King, and when I was on holidays there just before COVID was actually well known, and it was interesting to hear that the issues that they have in common, surprisingly, are inundation and fire, and climate change, which both New Zealand, Tasman Council being in the northern part of the South Island, and Holland, and Kingborough, I think we all share those concerns, and there are some very expert people in the Netherlands who've been dealing with inundation for a long time. And we've been dealing with fire and climate change in our municipality, and I think by exchanging the reports and studies that we've done in each of those three countries might be another stepping stone that we could use to strengthen our relationships with our neighbours and also with the Netherlands, where many people from Kingborough, or some people from Kingborough, come from. But I guess art and culture is also something we share. I know that everybody can think of the Rijks Museum and Rembrandt and all the wonderful painters, Van Gogh, etc., who came out of that area. But what the Europeans value most about our country is the open space and the nature and the clean beaches and the wonderful natural environment that we have here. And if we can capture that in our photography and in our art through our young people, then I think everybody would be very appreciative, and it would raise everyone's awareness, and maybe they'd look at their own communities the way other people do and value them more through that exchange. So I recommend the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have a question in regards to how councillors will be kept up to date in regards to this project, and how will the measure of success or unsuccessful be?
Through you, Mayor, whilst this has been presented as a concept and there's obviously the fine detail needs to be worked through, obviously the intent would be to keep councillors informed, be that through our quarterly reporting or be it through specific updates provided at appropriate times. And the review process would need to include measures such as the number of young people engaging both within our local community and within our sister city.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor. I support the recommendation. We're very lucky that we have a very willing and eager sister city. Certainly the Able Tasman Art Prize worked well in the initial years and then faded and became an issue for both councils. Despite the distance between us and the Netherlands, there are very many issues that we have in common in this municipality and the municipality in the Netherlands, such as youth moving from the area into larger areas, firstly into Groningen and then into Amsterdam, that they want to keep and maintain. Some of the social issues also the same as what we're suffering. So I certainly support the recommendation, as I said. Certainly we'll go down the road supporting this youth art link. There's golden opportunities for us in dealing with our sister city on other issues. And who knows? I mean, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years or something, we may need to look at another part to keep the sister city of relationship going, and I'm sure there are other ways that we can do that if necessary in time coming. So that's all I need to say, Mayor.
No, the lights are on. Councillor Fox, would you like to sum up?
No, thank you for the support for those speakers. Thank you.
Motion was moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Midgley, and it is that Council A maintain a youth art link with its sister city via email and social media, which introduces each municipality to the work being produced, and B that the success of this reciprocal art exchange be monitored so that joint creative projects could be introduced. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Now move to confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. The motion is that in accordance with Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence. Have I missed any? I'll look for a mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Mitchell, seconded by Councillor Westwood. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. With that, we sign off to our Facebook friends. If you have sat through this till 9:17 p.m, we salute you. Great job. Thanks very much for watching, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time for our next meeting, which is on the 27th of July at 5:30 p.m, same time, same place. See you then.